Movies, TV, streaming, all the things you should be watching. It's The Feed with Kevin Begley, Star 99.9.
All right, Wednesday's in The Feed. We talked to our friend Nick Johnston from Vinyland.com. All things movies, TV shows, streaming, everything we should be checking out this week. So what do we got this week, Nick? Anything good?
Oh, we got plenty of good stuff this week, actually. It's post-Super Bowl time. Everybody's watched all them trailers and freaked out over Michael Keaton being the Batman and the Flash. And, and I'm sure Fast X, you know, with the big exploding tankers over the Hoover Dam, got everyone nice and excited. And hey, it was a pretty good game, all things considered. So, yeah, everybody's dropping their mid-season replacements and stuff on streaming, and a big movie's out in theaters this week. So we're going to go TV, streaming, and then film. So you, in theater, we'll build up from probably least interested for most people all the way up until, you know, what you're probably going to go out and see in the theaters this weekend. So first up, on airing on Fox, which is really funny, they showed plenty of ads for this during the Super Bowl, and I don't think it raised a single bit of interest, is the new sitcom Animal Control. Starring Joel McHale as an animal control officer who begins to resent the people in his small town, but loves the animals, man. You know, so good for him. Good for him for loving animals and for doing his job well. You know, there's a really funny book. I'll throw out a plug here instead, called Fuzz by Mary Roach, which is about sort of like the real life adventures of a variety of different animal control people.
Mm.
And if you've ever wanted to laugh really hard while reading a book, but also be just totally mystified and horrified by how nature interacts with law, I highly recommend you check that out. You'll have a great time, and you'll walk away with a new respect for how many trash cans a bear really can destroy in order to get in there. But, yeah, that airs on Thursday at 8 p.m. on Fox.
That's funny. When I saw that commercial for the ad during the Super Bowl, I was one of the – I got tricked with the QR code because it was one of those QR code ads where you had to scan the TV.
Oh, no, really? Did the crypto scam?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm going to scan it. And then it was a trailer for that show with Joel McHale. And I was like, oh, man, they got me.
That's so obnoxious. They really got to stop doing that stuff. I mean, it's pretty silly whenever you have something like that pop up. And they're just, it's like when they had the Alexa order me a Whopper or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
During the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Jeez, what a nightmare. But yeah, that's definitely a great way to sell your show. Definitely. Just a wonderful way. So yeah, based on that, just scan your QR code and I'm sure you'll be beamed into the universe of Animal Control,
right.
Animal Control AR experience, the Animal Control branded Oculus headset. I don't know. If you like animals, if you like Joel McHale, I'm sure that's a great show. So check it out. But I think on we're going to move into real nerd territory now. We're going to go to the people that Joel McHale probably gave wedgies to when they worked on PAs on the Soup or whatever. And that is upcoming on Paramount Plus. I couldn't remember if it was CBS All Access or Paramount Plus, because I feel like they've changed that name like five times now.
Right.
But you will have the third season of Star Trek Picard, which is a show that I honestly don't really care for. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, but I don't know. I for whatever reason, I wasn't a big old fan of the first season, and I heard the second season was nothing but trouble. So what's so special about the third season then? Why are you even talking about it, Nick? Just let it die. You know, just let it fade into the wonderful background. Well, for those of you who have asked for a new season of Star Trek The Next Generation, well, congratulations. Star Trek Picard is basically that for you. It's got all the old school cast members back who are, you know, all still around, I should say. And that includes, like, Jonathan Frakes. That includes, Marina Sirtis, you know, LeVar Burton. Everyone that you are associate with, the Next Generation, the classic show.
Yeah,
are back. They're about 30 years older, and they are ready for one last giant galactic adventure, whatever that may be. If you like swearing in your Star Trek, congratulations, the show is for you. But yeah, so I mean, it's hard not to get a little bit excited about that. So yeah, that premieres on Thursday, I believe, at sometime early in the morning. And you can check that out. I think it'll be an interesting experience. Regardless, it'll be nice to see, you know, Geordi LaForge and Commander Riker, and or I should say Admiral Riker now, hamming it up with Jean-Luc Picard once again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, we've got our big release of the week, the one thing that's basically taking over every single multiplex screen at your local AMC or Regal or what have you, and that is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is an absolute nightmare for spell checkers out there, because there's no good way to spell that right the first time. What's it about? Well, it's about Ant-Man, everybody's favorite superhero. The people, you know, Marvel doesn't even remember him three quarters of the time, so they make a lot of jokes about that. But Ant-Man shows up. He's played by Paul Rudd, as always, and he gets sucked into the quantum realm along with his friends and family, and it's basically like the Swiss Family Robinson if they were all being hunted by Jonathan Majors, who is the time-traveling interdimensional villain Kang the Conqueror. So you might wonder why he's not blue like in the comics, and it's because he's actually wearing a face shield. So you know, when he goes into battle mode, that's when he turns blue. It's another Marvel movie. What can I say about that? If you're in for that penny, then you will enjoy this pound. It's pretty funny. I'm a big fan of Peyton Reed, the director, because he's a pretty funny dude. He also went to my high school and throws out lots of little fun references to our hometown in his films, which is always swell. But I'm just hoping they do what they should have done with Peyton Reed, probably in 2003. Here's a fun little story for you, because if I talked about Ant-Man 3 over this, I'd probably get canceled, and we'd probably go, you know, whatever, because I didn't care too much for it. But here's the cool fact. So 2003, right? Peyton Reed goes to Fox and pitches, after this movie came out, he did called Down with Love, which is absolutely amazing if you haven't seen it. It's a tribute to the Doris Day, Rock Hudson comedies of the 60s with impeccable Mad Men-esque production design. Impeccably recreates that era, the early 60s. He goes to the people at Fox and he lays out a giant pitch for what he wanted to do with the Fantastic Four, which was he wanted to tell a Fantastic Four story, but he wanted to do it in a big, broad adventure style set in that same era with the same people working on production design. So we could have had a crazy Jack Kirby-styled Fantastic Four movie, retrofuturism, all that jazz, if not for a little movie called The Incredibles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're Marvel's bringing in the Fantastic Four into this universe. And I've got to say, it would be the absolute perfect time to resurrect that concept, put Peyton Reed in charge, just give the man his budget and let him go to town, because that would probably be absolutely insane, provided he can get the gang back together.
Yeah, definitely. So, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, but there's a lot to enjoy in it. You'll have fun with Jonathan Majors, who's a great, great villain. Some of the quirky little things they have in the movie, you know, like the little alien fellows and all them, they're very fun. And Paul Rudd's charming, as always. So if you want to check that out for yourself and not have to shriek yourself down in the process, I highly recommend going out to your local theater this Friday.
Perfect. Yeah, Paul Rudd's always great. I love seeing him in whatever he's in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His kid is basically an exact clone of him, too.
Yeah, I saw a video from the Super Bowl where, it was after the game, and they interviewed both of them. And, yeah, he is. He's exactly like him. It's funny.
Did Paul Rudd drunkenly invite people to his mom's house, like when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series?
I have no idea. I just saw that. I'm like, of course he's on the field. And, the whatever reporter was interviewing him and his son and going back and forth. And I was like, man, his son, I know it's his son, but he's exactly like him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I imagine they probably wasn't too far for them to get to, given how close Arizona is to L.A. So,
right.
You know, they were able to just drive out there and maybe hit up Vegas on the way back and sneak into the slot machines and cause an instant jackpot.
Exactly. All right, Nick, thanks so much. We got a lot of good stuff this week. And Nick Johnston, you can read his stuff at Vonnyland.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, Kevin.